Microsoft's trimming some fat from Windows. There's another Xbox that you can't buy, and Teams finally solves its identity crisis. Somehow it has happened, my friends. It is another week gone by, which means it's Friday, which means it's time to do the weekly wrap up the podcast, the thing that I've been doing for longer than pretty much anything else when it comes to this YouTube channel, or podcast, I should say, for everything else. So let's just dive in. Hopefully you had a wonderful week, and let's kick it off here with what's happening in the world of Windows and Microsoft and everything beyond. So Microsoft is bringing GPT-4 Turbo to Copilot. So that is also the free version. Interesting maneuver, I guess, if you will. Copilot, the Turbo version is typically referred to as, like, it's a little bit cheaper to operate, it's a little bit more it's just faster at the end of the day, and so this should give you faster results, but maybe I'll be curious to see if the quality is as good as the native GPT-4, if I could enunciate that correctly. But either way, if you're using the free version of Copilot, you're probably using the GPT-4 Turbo version going forward, at least until GPT-5 and 5 Turbo and all that other stuff starts to come out. Microsoft also shipped a new build of Windows Canary this week, and this one's pretty particular, so we need to kind of talk about this one for a second here. So Windows 11 24H2 build 26080. This is a pretty big deal because it helped solve the Teams identity crisis. There is a new Teams app, so I believe that's like 3 or 4 Teams apps now that have come out, although you might be able to argue that this one isn't a new Teams app, but although it's kind of been like rebuilt and everything else, so maybe it is like a new Teams at the end of the day. Either way, this is going to solve the identity crisis where you have like multiple versions of Teams on your device. Now, work and home and everything else in the world of Teams is now in one app like we would all expect. So you can now do that Teams free version chat. You can also do your Teams work version chat, all from the same app. You can use multiple accounts, including multiple enterprise accounts, Microsoft has told me. And so, yes, this new app, though, is only shipping if you're running, I think, 24H2. And later, if you're running something previous to that, I don't think you can actually run this app, at least not officially. Somebody might find some workarounds to make that happen. But either way, going forward, there will be one Teams app to rule them all, which is finally, we're getting rid of that Teams crazy nonsense. So that's a very good thing. So the other thing to kind of consider here, and this is me just kind of poking around the Microsoft neighborhood and understanding how they work. So the fact that the Teams free version that they like publicly talked about on stage when Windows 11 came out is now nested inside of this app. To me, that's like a big downgrade. They went from the front porch to the back porch. And it would not surprise me if in the future that Microsoft just kind of cans this thing quietly, because if it's not its own separate identity, the likelihood of it growing in adoption is probably pretty small. But let's be real here. Windows 11 has been out for a couple of years. The likelihood of this app suddenly exploding in popularity, I would put pretty low down on the likelihood of things to happen in the world of Windows. So if you kind of take that nutshell, or that little nugget of information, if you will, and say, well, they're kind of de-emphasizing the Teams consumer app. They're removing the Windows Android app support. It's like a couple of the hallmark things that were part of the Windows 11 announcement are either deprioritized or quite literally gone. Just something, you know, just to keep in mind here. Now, there's other things that have actually happened under the hood of Windows 11 with this build that are very notable, specifically for somebody like me. And this is where I introduce the caveat that I work at Stardock, and you'll see where I'm going with this. With build 26080, Microsoft has reintroduced a flag in the system called Disable Windows 10 Taskbar. And it's enabled by default. And so we're like, Brad, why does this even matter? Well, here's the deal. So if you were using any third-party app that was enabling the Windows 10 feature set, those apps will quite literally crash the shell and you cannot use the OS like at all. If you have it installed, what happens is when you boot in, your entire screen is black. Now, it doesn't crash like a blue screen like you might think, but it's quite literally a black OS. You can get to the task manager, but all of the other shell experiences are nuked at the end of the day, because what it's trying to do is run Windows 10 elements and it's calling them, but they don't exist. Microsoft has removed that code from the OS, and we expect that this is something That they are going to be doing here when they ship 24H2. What we're hearing is like sometime in July. And so I will tell you that Start 11, as of right now, is not impacted because we don't use that functionality, but there's a lot of third-party customization tools that do. And so just be aware at the end of the day that if you boot into a Canary build and your screen is completely black, that is likely the problem. Now, the curious of my part of my brain is like, is Microsoft actually going to block people from updating to 24H2 if they have one of these apps installed, knowing that this is a bad experience? And it wouldn't surprise me if they do it. Microsoft does do this sort of stuff, and we know it because Microsoft actually flagged a Stardock app at one point, and so we had to get that unblocked because it was a false identification that an app we had was not compatible. This was back when Windows 11 was released from Windows 10, but it was in fact compatible, and so there you go. Either way, so, you know, that's Microsoft just cutting some cruft out of everything. There you go. So here's some other interesting things. Skype is adding news and these channel things, and like, it's easy to dunk on Skype because they've tried things. We all remember when they tried to turn into Snapchat and whatever else, but Skype continues to live on. And I know there's a core set of audience that continues to use it. Microsoft's trying to find unique ways to expand the scope. They've added, it was a Bing chat, but now it's probably Copilot chat and everything else. I don't think it needs news at the end of the day, but you know what? It is what it is. And Microsoft is always trying to use these other vehicles that it has to get you to its websites, to get you to add impressions, to get you to make money for them. And so, you know, that is, that's that. Other things happening in the world. So Intel has dropped the new Core i9-14900KS. This thing looks like a beast, but I wouldn't tell you to buy it. It does support record-breaking 6.2 gigahertz out of the box. But here's the deal. It doesn't have an NPU. And it, like, my baseline of, like, you are buying a new device at the end of the day, make sure it has an NPU. Now, it's not something you might need immediately right now, but it's more one of those things, like, if you're somebody who doesn't buy a new PC every 1 or 2 years, I would be hesitant to recommend any chipset that doesn't have an NPU. Like, go grab an 8000G from AMD. Intel will have their own NPU lineup here. I think it's coming online. Well, their laptop stuff, I think, is already there, but their desktop stuff should be coming online later this year. And like, that to me is much more future-proof than a device like that can do this high speed at a Core 9. I have no doubt that the performance on the thing is amazing. Your lights probably dim when you're maxing it out on Blender and or something like that. But there you go. That is an interesting little chip and might be kind of like the reason why I highlight this, I don't do this every time. It feels like it's like a last of a generation, right? It's a last of an era where NPUs aren't a thing. And let's be real, NPUs might turn out to be the next 3D TV. I don't suspect that, or I should say physics cards. God, if you recognize physics cards, congratulations, your knees probably creak when you stand up. So there you go. Also, other things happening. So this is, I've complained a lot about the Alloc email app, and there was actually, I think, a program manager was like, okay, tell me what you don't like thread on Twitter, and like, people were really late into it. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm very interested in Proton Mail, but I have some challenges. One, I really like Outlook, and I believe you can use it as like a relay service where I could actually continue to send emails through my Outlook.com address through Proton. But if anybody knows if you can wire up an M365 account, because I really like the interface. Like, if you're watching on the YouTube, like, you see it here, like, it's like the basic mail app that we have, but it's modern-ish. It's just what I'm looking for, and I'd just love to be able to use this with a native M365 account and my Outlook account, and then I'd probably sign up for Proton. I like what they're trying to do with their privacy-first approach. I think it's a good model and a good mission, and so I like to try to support the companies that I think are doing good stuff. And so if anybody knows if you can run that with that great enunciation of what I do with a M365 account, because at the end of the day, I want one email account or one email app. I don't want to be jumping between apps. That is going to drive me nuts, probably even more than the new the new Outlook app. So on to the gaming news of the week, my friends. There wasn't a ton of gaming news, but some notable items. Activision's QA workers, which is roughly about 600 people, have unionized. Microsoft was not, I don't think they were for this, but they also were not against it. Remember, part of their conversations when they were trying to buy Activision was like, look, we're not going to stop this. If it is what it is, it does what it does. And so Microsoft is neutral on this topic. And there you go. Other interesting things. There's another Microsoft subscription in the gaming arena, if you will. There is now a new marketplace pass for Minecraft. It gets you a bunch of stuff. It's about $4. It's like 150 extra content items for the game, and it's $4 a month, $4 dues at the end of the day. And the more interesting one, Microsoft has yet again dropped another custom Xbox. Although this one, as you can clearly see here, cannot be bought. So this is a Final Fantasy themed Xbox. Again, I don't think all the extra items around, I don't know, maybe because it's a one-off or one of one, I should say, sort of thing. So maybe it does actually have all those extra, like the little pedestal and the rings and the ice shards and everything else with it. I don't know. Unlike the SpongeBob one that was on sale at Best Buy that immediately, and I mean immediately, went out of stock. I think it was still asking like $700 or something like that for it. Yeah, immediately, you can't buy this one. So there you go. All right, let's jump into the questions of the week, because we've got a couple. Mr. PKI kicking it off. He's also got the last question of the week. So Mr. PKI with the first question, he says, now that Amazon Android Store is leaving the Windows Store, have you tried Google Game Play Store on Windows? Any good recommendations? No, Mr. PKI, I have not tried it. It's worth reminding everybody, though, that the Google Game Play Store on Windows does not use the Windows subsystem for Android, which is why Microsoft is deprecating it, because like Google's not using it. Google's using its own thing. And so I have not tried it. I'm not a huge PC gamer. There are a few select titles that I do play occasionally on the PC, but I would prefer to sit down on my Xbox at the end of the day, because when I'm sitting in front of my PC, my brain immediately goes into work mode. It's like, let's just check Teams, let's check some email, let's check the dashboards, make sure everything's healthy. And like, so getting into a gaming fit mindset is not easy. Dragon Dog says, hey Brad, what in the world is going on with the Surface event next week? Oh yeah, I didn't even mention that in the tech part of the session. So Microsoft has like their quote unquote work future AI event next week, and it has, if you haven't noticed, hasn't been promoted very much. It looks like this is going to be very subdued, a very corporate-y event. We're expecting new Surface hardware, but it's only going to be Surface commercial hardware. Think along the lines of like a Surface Pro 7 Plus, if you remember that. I think it was a 7 Plus, where it was only commercial devices are going to be announced, and then look for Microsoft to do their ARM stuff. It looks like that's going to be happening before the June event, potentially April or May or sometime like that, where we'll actually see the commercial stuff and the stuff I think most people listening to this are interested in, which are the ARM devices. So I don't think we're going to see much of ARM next week, but either way, we'll see what they have. Regis People says, hey Brad, I've only had two laptops over the last 15 years. So this is the type of individual I'm talking about. When it's like, if you're going to buy a new device, make sure it has an NPU, because I suspect that there's a lot of people like this who buy, I mean, my desktops are getting aged out. They did support Windows 11, although this box, which I did get upgraded, now does support 11. But yeah, people keep things like 5-6 years, so this isn't unusual. He says, I've only had two laptops over the last 15 years, with my last desktop being a Dell XPS 210, which obviously was some time ago. In short, it fried itself. Using laptops has been mostly due to a lack of space and portability when I took college a few years back, but my family and I will soon be moving to a bigger house, and with that, one of the first things I want for the future space is a desktop. Could you give me a couple recommendations for brands, models to consider in the i5 to i7 range, or possibly a couple to avoid? It gets, so here's like a pretty honest question. Is there anything stopping you from building your own PC? Now, the reason why I say that is not because like you should build like all OEMs are crap, and it's not that you will actually get more PC for your money, but the last time I built a PC, which candidly was like 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago at this point, it has gotten so much easier than it used to be when I built my first AMD K6 2400, 20 plus years ago. So here's what I would recommend, honestly. Go to PC Part Picker, and they make it stupidly easy. Like, you pick a case that you want. Like, I'm interested in building a new small form factor. That's, like, the next thing I want to build. And if I do an upgrade here where I actually have a device with an NPU, it'll probably be a small form factor PC. Like, that's what I want to do. Anyways, that aside, go to PC Part Picker. Find a part that you like. And I don't mean, like, you can pick a case. You can pick a motherboard. You can pick a CPU. And then the tool is really good because it'll filter out everything that's not compatible with it. And then you just pick the parts, you buy them, and they get delivered, and boom, you build it. It's super easy. And so that honestly is what I would do. I it, if you're nervous about building a PC, just watch a couple videos. Like, it's really just plug and play at this point. I think the hardest thing probably anymore is maybe mounting a fan to the CPU, but even that has gotten relatively trivial, and it's just a couple screws and getting your thermal paste. Like, it's really hard to screw those things up anymore because the chips only go in one way. And so just make sure everything's plugged in at right where it says, and there you go. It's more plumbing than it is some sort of like Wi-Fi sci-fi wizardry like it used to be. Like, there's no jumpers really anymore. It's not like you're doing that on the hard drive. It doesn't matter where you plug it in on the ribbon. Remember, if those old cables that you had a primary and a secondary, and depending on where you plugged it in, depending on the jump, like, that stuff's all gone. It's gotten so much easier. Rafik says, "Hi Brad, lately I am encountering issues in the Windows Explorer where sometimes it's very slow to process. Is it just me, or is it generally no, I can promise you this, it is not just you. There's a lot of complaints about the new File Explorer. Microsoft did some rewriting of it, which is, if you roll back in the podcast, it's like, why are people enabling previous Windows experiences on Windows 11? Primarily because, hey, they're usually faster and have features that are not available in the new versions of Windows 11 that have been rebuilt. I don't want to say quite from the ground up, but they've been overhauled during the life cycle, kind of through things. And so Windows Explorer got an update, which isn't the most performant thing. So it's definitely not you. And if you're wondering, if you're listening to this and saying, Brad, I've never seen this, well, let me break it for you and let me tell you what it is. When you open File Explorer and it's just a white square and there's no content populated in it, that is what's driving everybody nuts, because you open it and you're like just sitting, you're waiting for your content to populate, and it's there's some sort of process that gets hung up, or I'm not quite sure, or it's trying to query something and it's just slow to populate that information, which is the primary issue. So it's not your device, it's not your hardware either, so it's not your install or your hardware, it's quite literally just File Explorer has become a little bit bloated. Bloated might be the wrong term. Non-optimized, suboptimal, something, choose your own adventure word there at the end of the day. Ren72 says, "Hey Brad, it was kind of quiet on Xbox this week. There was only a couple things of announcements. There was no major leaks or anything else like that. Is that kind of the era that we are in?" Well, kind of. I mean, I trust me, as a content creator with a YouTube channel and a podcast, I would love for every week to be like a blockbuster week. But the reality is, it can't be. Like, it just quite literally can't be. Microsoft can't line up that many things to happen every single week of the year. Trust me, they would love to. And although maybe with all their studios, they might be able to do that eventually, but not like big, chunky kind of media announcements that we all love. So we're kind of just in a little bit of a quiet period. Microsoft got through the Activision acquisition. They got through their business update, and now they're just kind of marching through the late winter, if you will, and then there'll be spring, and then we expect something around E3. And so just kind of keep your eyes and ears and peeled for something like that. And Mr. PKI, wrapping it up as he likes to do, probably the most frequent commenter on this podcast over the years, he says, "Fun ending question of the week. What was the most popular Sam's report of all time, and why do you think it got so many views? I know exactly which one. They're both Xbox related. There was a podcast titled Xbox E1, E2, E3, where I leaked a bunch of things that happened 2018 E3 or something like that. It was around that time. The other one was the podcast where I did right after I leaked the Xbox Series S. Those two just blew numbers way out the door. Now, there's ways, like any content creator, anybody logical with a brain, there's things you can do to juice the metrics, but they're usually not sustainable. Like, you can put things like, this one weird thing is keeping Xbox back, or Windows has a secret hidden behind this button, and like, people will click that stuff. But to me, one, because this is something I do for fun at the end of the day, I mean, somebody will point out, say, Brad, you've sauced up the titles before, you do it all the time. And yeah, I'm guilty of it, but I try not to do like the 10 things you need to know about Xbox this week. I don't know. I do this for fun. It's always been a thing for fun. And I hope it always remains that way, because the problem is that a lot of people go through in the content creation industry, and I went through a wave where I was doing more content creation full time than I am now. The problem is like you have to create a sustainable income means you have to create a repeatable process, and that's very hard to do. It is extremely hard to do like what Linus Tech Tips does. You know, hats off to that for that engine. I mean, he's got, I think, 100 plus employees to be able to do what they do on a near daily basis. And so like it takes a real concerted effort to be able to do this kind of stuff on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. And like what I do on this channel is, I'll call it mid tier, maybe mid to low tier. I'm definitely not a high budget studio over here. Although I do at least have a custom setup with hopefully decent quality audio, I'd like to think. But it's not a full production where there's a guy behind the microphone. I mean, it's literally on an arm hanging from the ceiling, wired up, and so whatever else. The challenge of content creation, if you go full time, for people that do, is like, okay, if you want to make money, you got to put something out the door. And what do you do when there's nothing happening? Well, you kind of got to get a little edgy or whatever. This got off on a weird tangent, but there you go, Mr. Peak. A very good question. Maybe I can look up and see what, let's just see here. Well, it'd be hard to find because I got to pull some data on the actual audio downloads. The video one's real easy. You just go to the YouTube channel and click most popular. But the audio side is the one that can jump real quickly too. We've had, you know, on average, when I looked last, a few weeks, maybe a month or two ago, this podcast, audio and video combined on an average episode is somewhere around 10,000 plays, something like that. So you take the video, you take the audio, and you add them together, and there you go. Now the video can really skew if it gets into a good YouTube algorithm, and the audio can skew actually fairly well too on the various platforms that it's in. So, you know, it just kind of depends, but roughly speaking, there's like 10,000 people listening to my soothing tones as we talk about whatever, which is why I'm always like so appreciative. Like, I mean, you guys take time out of your day to listen to me ramble. I love the interactions, and like I said, I do this because I enjoy it, and I used to do it when quite literally only my mom would listen. And so now here we are. Anyways, that ended weirdly. Have yourselves a wonderful week. As always, make sure to keep it subscribed here, because the only BS on this podcast is me.